It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champy's Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Everybody, welcome to this week's edition of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. My name is Roddy DeBolsey. I'm the publisher of UGASports.com. This is a UGASports.com production. That makes it sound really official and fancy.
A joint. A joint. As Spike Lee might say.
Yeah, I'm joined by Jake Roos, the recruiting debutante at UGASports.com.
I don't like that one as much.
I'm running out of words to describe you. He's new. He's only 4 years in. He hasn't been doing it that long. He's coming out with some new stuff. And then, of course, we have Coach Jim Donnan, the former head coach of the University of Georgia, the only man that I know of who is in the College Football Hall of Fame, who has also run the nation's leading passing offense and rushing offense. He won't tell you that. I looked it up, found it, and he'll go, don't worry about that. That was a long time ago. Yeah, don't worry about that. It's all time long ago. But, no, Coach Donnan will break some stuff down. And I mean, we have a lot of stuff to talk about, Coach. We'll mention our sponsors here in a bit. But I got to give first props for calling that punt block last week's show. That's why you watch this. You know, you get stuff right off the bat that is going to come out. Coach called a punt block.
Good scouting report.
He did. He looked at Missouri, said they were having some issues with the snapper, and you know, get the ball getting back there a little high, a little low, little inconsistent. And here's the thing. Now, a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, Coach knows stuff's going on behind the scenes. He called that, but the guy that blocked it was not the first-string punt block guy. That was supposed to be Tyler Simmons, you know, who did it against Alabama. It was Eric Stokes who was in. So I could almost see Coach walking your prediction back because you're like, hey, the guy that's probably going to block this isn't in the game. But you called it. You called your shot.
I didn't have any
happened.
Idea about that. But, you know, the bottom line was it was an issue for him. And Stokes did a really good job of not only blocking it but picking it up. And, you know, we got this show every week, and, you know, a couple people have seen me and said, hey, Coach, why don't you ever tell any jokes anymore? You know, the first four games were serious as Berlin. You know, we had to get those out of the way. But, you know, when this doesn't mean because I'm telling the joke that this is going to be an easy game. But by and large, here's the deal. This lady comes home driving her car, screeches into the garage door right there, right beside the garage. We got this great one. It was probably by Aaron overhead doors. And she hollers out, honey, I won the lottery. Pack your bags. And he says, do I need to get mountain stuff or beach stuff? She said, it doesn't matter. Get out. there was this guy. I got a couple more here. There was this guy that this older guy was at this downtown at a at a theater, and this young kid went down there and saw this guy sprawled out again over three seats, you know, just laying really? Back. And he said, sir, I'm just going to tell you right now, we just can't have that in this theater. He said, you got to sit up and take one seat. And the guy didn't do anything. He said, look, if you don't sit up, I'm going to go get the manager. So the guy didn't sit up. So he comes back a little bit later, and the manager's with him, said, hey, you got to get up. He said, you know, we can't take but one seat. And the guy just keeps laying there. He said, if you don't sit up, I'm going to go get the police. So the guy doesn't sit up, and the policeman comes in there. And finally, the policeman just kind of shakes him and says, what's your name? He said, Joe. And he says, where did you come from, Joe? Where do you come from? He said, the balcony. And here's the last one. This has nothing to do with it. There's this Polish immigrant went in to get his driver's license. And, hey, the first thing you got to do is take an eye test. And he said, okay, I'll take it. He said, okay, read those letters. He said, read it. I know the guy. All right, let's have a good show. Here we go.
Shout out to all of our sponsors. Following that up, we've got Aaron Overhead Doors, huge sponsor of the show. Athens Ford, as always, huge sponsors. Go out there. We got a story to tell you today about Athens Ford. A recent guy went out there, picked one up from those guys, had a great experience.
Bought a 2016 Ford Explorer just like mine.
Copycat. He get the real nice one like you, too?
I'm sure he did. He's got a wife and kids, and We got to give a shout out to them later in the show. Also, we're drinking the Academia beers here.
A little cheers IPA.
Yeah, ooh, yeah.
Cheers.
Boy, look at that chicken plate, too.
You know, and that's the thing. We always talk about the fact that we're sitting here at Champions, but we don't always mention their food. Yeah, just hand me that key lime. Come on, coach. You going to tease me like that? You slack. You going to give me a Heisman brush off there? All right, coach is no longer on the show. He won't share the pie with me down here.
You can have that pie. I just gave you a sliver of it. I'm going to have a real piece.
There you go. We've got the, what is that, three-piece dark?
Got a three-piece dark plate, some potato salad, some green beans.
Now, here's the thing. If you watch,
we got some tater salad.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people that
hey, did you hear about they got to quit Tennessee this week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's spelled tater with a P-O.
I'm not getting a good education here.
All right, keep going here, man. No, I'm dead here.
No,
we know
Corte Sapp, right?
Corte Sapp, yeah.
Well, we covered him.
Now, he came out and you know, refuted that.
Yeah.
He released a little statement. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about them. We'll talk about Jeremy Pruitt. We got a lot to talk about in the Tennessee game, but also want to give a shout-out to Cable East and Robert Wall out in Statham. Big fan of the show. Glad he takes care of us. But like I said, we never talk enough quite about the Champions food here. So all you people that watch it, we get people all the time saying, hey, I love the show. Just do us a favor. Swing by here one time and try the chicken. Just come in and try the fried chicken. They got a million different things.
How many years in a row has won it? 4 years in a row? The best.
Every year they've been open.
Yeah, they won the best fried chicken.
There's some good chicken in this town, and you're number one in chicken?
Yeah.
I mean, that's serious.
So just come in and try it. We've never had anybody come back and say, I had a bad meal there. That's never happened. So, and also, now, not everybody can get to Athens. I get that. You can't get up. Now, there's also one in Nashville, too, and there's some other locations, but there's almost definitely, if you're listening to the show or you're watching the show, you're in our fan base, if you will. There's probably a Europie near you. There's 58 of them, and they're going to be bringing up more. So if you get a chance, swing by Europie, try the pizza, try their sandwiches, try their what is the ice cream they have out there?
Where?
Yeah, the Europie.
Oh, the gelato.
Gelato.
Yeah.
Or is it gelato?
Yeah. You get some gelato with your prosciutto, and you're ready to rock and roll, man.
So you get the ice cream out there. So, but they also, most of the ones I've been in, they carry some wonderful beers. Of course, they also carry the Academia beers in the three locations here in town. So if you get a chance, you can have an Academia beer, and you can also have a wonderful pizza out there. So a big shout-out to all of our sponsors. Of course, we're on the 11 Alive webpage. I got to give a shout-out to the 11 Alive guys for doing great work in the high school coverage, their high school game of the week. The voting there has been through the roof. So if you get a chance, swing out and just like their page. Just, you know, if you want to watch great high school football coverage, great Georgia coverage, great Falcons coverage, even all the injuries that the Falcons had, they're right on top of it. And last but not least, I'm going to give a shout-out to 365 Game Day. That's a great place to get gear. We're doing more and more with 365 Game Day. They actually have a deal right now. If you go to 365 Game Day, you can get a UGA Sports subscription. They are the only promo deal we're running right now. They have a specific code. You can't get it anywhere else. So if you go out to 365 Game Day at the Georgia site, look on there. You can buy gear. You can get stories. They have a lot of our stories there, the free ones. But you can also get a promo deal to be a member at UGASports.com. Oh, yeah, and we mentioned Athens Aaron Overhead Doors.
All right, let's mention it again.
We'll get into them here later in the show as well. But big, big sponsors of not only the website, I mean the show, but also our website. So thanks, Aaron Overhead Doors. They sponsor my Georgia 3-2-1 report. One thing I put in the 3-2-1 report was I predict that Kirby's going to have some decent success trying to manage, I don't say egos, but manage the playing time of all these stars he has. We keep talking about all the great talent Kirby's bringing in. And I think you made a great point last week, Coach. Who would have suspected that Demetrius Robertson wouldn't have a catch, you know, or have as few as he did 3 weeks into the season? Against Missouri, I don't think he got a play. I don't think he was on the field. And then William Poole, who'd been playing well, got one snap. James Cook, I think, got one snap. And it's not to say that there's anything wrong, because at the same time, I mean, if you're putting them in, you're taking someone out. So I just made a prediction about the rotation seems to be going really well. Everybody's getting a shot. But that Missouri game was weird.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
I mean, not just from the player personnel stance, but, I mean, the block punts,
there were
defensive
turnovers, penalties. There were block punts. It was just a number of things.
Balls being dropped for getting in the end zone. Coach, give me your kind of overall take on that game, because to me it just seemed odd. I mean, and we're going to nitpick a 14-point win on the road against the conference
division.
Here's
the way I see it here, and I've thought a lot about how I was going to present this opening monologue to you. But
the jokes weren't the monologue?
No, that was good. I thought the jokes were a little off-key just to set up the whole thing. But the whole point is this. You got four guys that didn't play in the game at some point that were starters for us. Ben Cleveland, Thomas, Monty Rice, and then Campbell. You take four starters off any team and you play
That's
on the
point.
Road against an undefeated team that has a really good offense, then it's difficult to have a lot of continuity. Everybody's just all shot in the butt about stopping the run. If you said last week on this program or any program that Drew Locke would not get a passing touchdown and would not throw over a pass for over 20 yards, they would have gotten a conga line around Champions, and everybody would have been real happy about it.
I wouldn't
it.
Have believed it.
So
I'd have taken that bet for a lot of money.
But have you ever thought that Kirby Smart and Mel Tucker, in their infinite wisdom, set up to stop the pass and gave them some easy runs?
No, that's not acceptable, Coach.
Now, on the goal line, I'm chapped about that. We didn't do very good against the run down there, and we got to do a lot better. But out in the field, every time they ran the ball, I was giving them a high five at my house because that's one last time they throw it. We were more three and outs in this game, and we've been a long time. So you got to take this with a cup grain of salt here. I mean, sure, the running defense wasn't great, but the pass defense was awesome.
That's right.
We played the ball in the air. We were around the ball. We rushed the passer. I told you we were going to do a really good job of affecting the guy. Walker had an unbelievable game. When you look at all the things he did, you know, Ledbetter mismatch over there. We got in this guy's face. We had him throwing off the wrong foot. We had receivers dropping the ball. We were jamming them. Their best receiver might have been hurt, but he still was shut out. If your tight end's catching nine passes, more than likely you aren't winning because you're throwing the ball underneath. So let's give our defense a little credit there. I felt like we gave them some runs because of the way we lined up. If you notice, we ran some three-man fronts and dropped eight some. So you're going to be able to run the ball. That notwithstanding there, I thought our offense was terrible in the first half compared to what it should have been against a team that's not very good. But their front was pretty good. I mean, they did some good job stopping the run, and then we missed some passes. You know, 3 out of 9 for Jake's not his style, plus an interception, which I don't know if that was his fault or Miko breaking on it. But if you don't score a point on offense, a touchdown on offense for Georgia in the first half, that's not good. So that wasn't good, but you add the fact that our kicking game created a score and we returned a play like Campbell did. And then the second half, put the hammer down. 14-point win against an undefeated team on the road. With those injuries, I'll take it every day of the week.
I know, but to your point, when you say that people are worried about the run defense, the reason I bring the whole weirdness up and the fact that fans are disappointed in a 14-point road win against an NFL quarterback.
Questionable. He might be. Watching that, I don't know.
Well, projected, again, and you got to go through the combine, and we've seen guys that
he's got the arm, that's no question.
We think guys are all world, and they hit the combine, and they disappear,
You know, you talk about NFL quarterback. Look at Matthew Stafford. That's an NFL quarterback without much help.
Well, Trevor Lawrence, too. I'll give you one who's going to be starting soon. Yeah. But I like the fact that you point out – I like the fact that fans are upset. Because that tells you where the standard is. You point out 4 years ago, Georgia won 9-6 on field goals.
No points.
I mean, no offensive, defensive scores, only field goals. And you got out of that game through the skin of your teeth. There were 2 years that Georgia lost, to games that they should not have. Two seasons. Missouri wins the SEC East. They come to the conference, and everyone's expecting them to be a doormat because, you haven't played SEC football. They win the division twice. They're always very talented. You're on the road. You mentioned the guys are out, and you lose guys midway through the game. But I think it's the exact same thing when we talk about players who didn't get in. It's assumed that Georgia's going to be good against the pass. It's assumed they're going to be good against the run. When something doesn't look right, people are going to complain about it. It's assumed that, Terry Godwin's going to get touches. It's assumed Riley Ridley's going to get a bunch of passes. It's assumed the tight ends. In other words, there's just not enough plays to get everybody the ball. So what do fans and the media focus on? The guys who didn't get it.
Well, here's the point.
In other words, the standards is up here, because, you know, Kirby always talks about playing to standards. The expectations are so high.
You can't,
if there's any issue, people are going to freak out about it.
Yeah,
but
you can't get the ball distributed when you don't make first downs and you're on the bench. So the offense, as I said, was very – didn't do anything in the first half. Second half, you know, we just decided, hey, we're going to throw the ball. And he threw two short balls that the guys caught and broke for touchdown, and then they threw that out and up to Miko, which was a very well-designed play. You know, every time we sprint out, we usually run a three-level flood, but this way he sprinted out, pulled up, and the guy went out and up, and there wasn't anybody between him and, you know, the airport in St. Louis. So I think the big thing there is, sure, we got some issues, but every team's got some issues now. Hey, Alabama is having trouble punting and kicking. You know, Clemson's having trouble on pass defense. Ohio State's giving up a lot of points. You're always going to have that issue with every team. The problem is that people don't take into account we lost two NFL running backs. Our first team running back still has an injury that's plaguing him as far as his breakaway type deal. Our second team guy's running hard. And, you know, our offensive line hadn't had any continuity in there. You know, we just hadn't had the same offensive line every game or something different. Second game, we lose a left tackle, lose a pro draft choice. The third game, you don't really count, Middle Tennessee. And then last week, the same thing. You not only lose a left tackle, right guard. Here's the thing about an offensive cohesiveness. If you all three of us work good together, because I know you're in the middle, you're down there, you guys run the show, you got the computers, you know. If you're the right guard and in the right tackle, you say, hey, I got this guy in a B gap, I'm going to take him, you take the linebacker. You know, you have some codes, you don't necessarily say it exactly like orange or red or something or three technique. And, you know, those two guys work together. And I don't think enough people have given Isaiah Wilson credit. Everybody talks about what's happened. But here's a guy that's never played in a college game, and you never see him getting beat. He plays strong every week, and he's playing good over there. And Ben's been solid, too. And now all of a sudden he's out. Look for Cleveland to get back fairly quick, hopefully. But I would think Mays will move over there just like he did at left tackle. But the thing is, we just expect everything to be hunky-dory every week, all that stuff. And the bottom line for our team, we're not that great against the run. We lost a number 10 guy drafted in the pros at middle linebacker, and that's the issue. It's not the front. It's the inside-out play of our inside backers, not the people up front. And then we lost some good backs on the offense, and, you know, we have a hard time protecting the passer. We're not a passing team on third down. Those are issues, but at the same time, I wouldn't trade our team for anybody else except maybe the one over in Tuscaloosa.
I think that you make a great point.
Trade them for that either, because I know what we got coming up.
Yeah, well, I think you make a great point, though, when talking about the backs. This was the first game where I really felt like Georgia missed Nick Chubb and Sony Michel to a great degree. Yeah. You know, everything to this point had gone fairly swimmingly in that regard in the rushing game, but this was the week that you could have used some guys to get in there, pound the rock when you needed to do it. You get down there in that 5-yard line and you want to push it in. I think that it became true.
It would be very interesting when we look at the PFF scores. You know, they graded out how many yards Georgia had after contact, because it seemed like the first three games, Georgia, the running backs after contact picked up a lot of yardage. I didn't see that much this week, but Coach, I like the.
We went against a good defensive front.
This is true. Very true.
Terry Beckner now, good player.
Yeah, he's good.
Very good.
What concerned me the most of anything wasn't the run defense or, you know, the quarterback rotation or even the quarterback in the first half. My biggest concern was the fact that there were a couple short yardage plays that Georgia didn't convert. And that makes me nervous for facing LSU, facing Auburn, facing, right, you know, Tennessee, Florida.
Yeah. It gives you three more plays. That's right.
Yeah. So,
but in their defense, you got a head coach who's a defensive coach just like our guys. They ganged up on the run. They had two guys on the outside that slanted in, and one of them we didn't block off the edge. We got fairly good movement, but they came off the edge and made the play in the backfield, which
They did well. I mean,
you got to contest that, but I don't know it was so much that we didn't knock them off the ball as they just had a good scheme for us there. Then they, you know, had a good coaching move there. But, you know, at the same time, when you're calling plays and you're struggling and you're not making first downs, you have a tendency not to maybe go for a play action pass in that situation. You want to just establish yourself, and we didn't do it. So we'll work hard on that. But But I don't think we're a team that's going to consistently knock everybody back. There's not many people that can. When the other team knows you're running and regardless of what team you are, you're not going to make a first down very easily against a gap defense with 11 men up there. It's just hard to do.
When you're six, you're trying to block their eight, which is what we saw. That's going to be tough. Quick shout out to Trent Smallwood. He has a story up today called What We Miss. It's basically a film breakdown. Dane Young does a great job breaking down plays and tendencies and stuff that we see on Saturday. He puts it up on Sunday. It's a great little feature. We don't get too into the X's and O's. I've had some other people say, can you get even further into it? And it's a fine line we have to walk because a lot of people don't know the ins and outs, the X's, though, the deep terminology. And as you know, Coach, you can get so far into it that it gets so inside baseball that only a handful of people will actually get something out of it. But if you go too bland, then it's like, well, now you're just watching a highlight reel. So,
well, that's why Kirby Smart's the coach, and these guys are computer programmers, librarians, right. Selling used cars, whatever it might be. So I think it's good to get technical. But, I watched Monday night. I watched the best team in the last 20 years. Couldn't even make a first down the first quarter and a half.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard, man. It's hard to make yards against the other team. If you, it's just not a lay down thing. It's not fantasy football. It's not EA Sports. I mean, seriously. And I'm not on a rant here. I just think everybody needs to take a collective breath. Listen to the old coach. We're not as good as you want us to be yet, but we're going to be.
Yeah.
We're not as good as we were last year because we don't have as many experienced players. We are 4-0, and we're going to be really good. But you got to enjoy it. Still come to the games. You'll enjoy these games.
I don't think that's going to be a problem.
I think you'll enjoy this weekend a lot.
I think a lot of people will be at the Tennessee game. But what I was saying about the thing Dane Young does on our site is he does a nice synopsis of – the things that happened in the game, tendencies, things that worked out well, some things that didn't. But I like what Trent Smallwood does. He does things that we missed. Things that when you're watching the game or watching the replay.
Sony Michel, Nick Chubb.
He pointed out something very, like, you're talking about coaching and the scheme that made me think of it. On one of the goal line runs for Missouri, Georgia rushes three offensive linemen, each one of them gets double-teamed. And then two of those guys peel off and pick up linebackers. It's an easy touchdown. But what were you worried about there? You were worried about him throwing it.
Right.
So you've got eight guys back, two outside linebackers up. But how are those three guys, they give up the touchdown, or they are blamed for giving up the touchdown, those three defensive linemen, each of whom was double-teamed. And give Michael Barnett credit. He shrugged it off, but then he was being pushed down to the ground with a guy in his back, but he almost got there. But to your point, when those, I think the center, or what, 75 or right guard, he gets a double team, then he climbs to the linebacker, blocks the linebacker out, that tiny little running back comes flying through there. That's not the defensive lineman's fault. So good job on Trent for showing that. Because you can go to UGASports.com. You can watch. He's got the double teams delineated on the video. It's a very neat piece. So if you get a chance, swing by UGA Sports and check it out.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. It's all. He does a great job with it, as you mentioned, Dane, as well. So
part of the deal there, too, is you're talking about short yardage. When we got stopped, it's compared to goal line. They got everybody spread out. We got to cover all those guys. Yep. They run all those picks. They do all that stuff. And, we're playing pass more than we are run there. Yep.
Well, that's exactly what you were doing there. And
they did a good job of hitting us on it. Yep. But at the same time, it's an issue where you got to be able to defend it better than we did. But I think we'll continue to improve that. I think some of these younger linebackers will start surfacing some too. Hopefully Monty will be back. He's kind of like quarterback of the defense and, rallies everybody about it. That could have been a misalignment. We could have had a guy out of place there that's supposed to have that gap. So,
yeah, Juwan Taylor, I think, played all but one snap.
Right.
So
thing. We played – Baker, those guys are over 80 snaps.
Yeah, I think he was in 79 plays, and that's going to be tough.
But we shut their passing game down, which I thought was outstanding.
Were you surprised, though, with the result of the game overall? I mean, the score, how things went down, how Georgia looked, was any of that surprising to you?
Yeah, I thought we'd win a little easier, but I think it helps you to have a little kind of adversity like that. I mean, down the road, everything's not going to be hunky-dory down there at Baton Rouge or when we play, you know, over the next few weeks, because you're going to have some adversity. I mean, Tennessee, you know, everybody just thinks this is going to be a lay-down game. It might be in a lot of ways, but if you turn the ball over six times, you're not going to beat the little sisters of the poor. I mean, that's just the way it is. But I think our team, as far as being surprised, I was surprised at our inability offensively the first half more than anything. I thought we'd come out humming with it because of their secondary, but at the same time, we thought maybe we could knock them around some too. But, hey – second half, we came out and did what we had to, and I was really surprised how well we defended the pass and rushed the passer. I told you guys, I think we'll do a better job rushing because we've been laying in the weeds, and we did. We rushed the heck out of the guy.
Shout out to DeAndre Walker, two sacks.
Playing really well.
Couple hurries.
He's a complete stallion. Have you ever seen that guy on the hoof? Look at him.
Oh, yeah.
He looked that way in ninth grade, Coach.
If he walked into any room, you'd have to say, please be my friend.
he's built like a superhero.
He's a good guy, but I mean, he is cut now.
Yeah. Well, he turned sideways to walk in because I don't know if folks know this, but his shoulders are the widest I've ever seen on a human being in my life.
Yeah, he's the inverted triangle. He really is. Yeah. He's so wide up top, but then slender down here. Yeah. I mean, he does. If you put him in a cape and a Batman uniform, he could fit the superhero
role.
I think one of the things every week we should say, who the next time Josh feeds the team, this guy should get two plates of championship. Yeah. Well, I mean, he was productive. Now.
But here's something that people didn't see, and I want to point this out about DeAndre Walker. We mentioned this in our post-game show. After the first score of the second half.
I thought your show was good again. I mean, you guys are strong.
No, I don't know about that.
I was hoping you'd have a couple of guest appearances from the Golden Girls out there, but I'm not talking about the old Golden. I'm talking about the majorettes. But.
Yeah, that's why there wasn't a whole lot of pregame photos, because somebody couldn't stop watching the Golden Girls. Yeah, that's – what?
You're the photographer.
Just say it. Did I have a camera? DeAndre Walker goes up to every member of the offense, and they're over in their the offensive line huddles, you know, with Sam Pittman. The backs are over there. I can't remember who they were talking to. Del McGee. No, they weren't talking to Del. They're talking to somebody else. And the wide receivers are in their groups, you know. And he went to each group. And not just only congratulated, but talked him up, you know, patting him on the shoulders, you know, saying, hey, and telling him, we'll get you the ball back, we'll get you the ball back, you know, just very much a team player. And Kirby Smart mentioned that he's a leader on that defense. And DeAndre Nisgall he's an odd duck.
You know, he still is. I mean, he's just a different cat. He marches to his own drum.
And I don't mean that in a mean way. He's very confident in who he is. And you never really kind of see him as being a team cheerleader, you know, because some guys are going to be vocal, some guys are not. Nick Chubb was never, you know, a very vocal guy. Dominic Sanders was not vocal. Some guys are. Jake Fromm, very vocal. I could have seen DeAndre Walker going any direction. But to see him pounding on Ben Cleveland and, you know, Lamont Galliard and thanking all those guys, telling them good job, I don't know what effect it had, but I just thought that was great leadership from him, and that team in the second half looked completely different.
I got to ask you, Coach. I'm interested in this with, you know, you're now in the meat of the SEC schedule. All that's kind of underway. Obviously, Cleveland, for continuity purposes, raises some flags, but which of these injuries concerns you the most? Would it be Cleveland?
I think right now, Monty Rice to me, because I think our line has proven that there's guys that can jump in there, you know. I think, and the same way with our secondary, the fact that Stokes has come along and we've got Poole and Webb and those other guys. But, you know, just the fact that he's – if you saw in the spring and you saw the way he's been able to play, he's kind of the guy like J.R. Reed that gets them around there and gets them lined up and everything. And we play a lot of packages, that's for sure. But, you know, he just seemed to be more settled when he's in there. But maybe these other guys will develop that with more reps. But, You know, I would say that bothers me more than anything because I just know what kind of a comforting influence he's been at this point.
Yeah, that makes a lot of
sense.
Plus,
he hits like a ton of bricks.
That's true. That's true. I think that people, though, also may be underestimating the loss of Tyler Simmons. I think the way that he's been blocking in the passing game is going to be something that over the next two, 3 weeks.
Yeah, I didn't want to – I mean, this was just
– Sure.
But overall, I think Tyler has done a great job, and our blocking on the perimeter has been outstanding. Yeah, I think Swift's injury has been pretty significant in the fact we just – haven't had as many explosive running plays as we have passing plays. But, you know, I just think it's terrible to compare last year and this year. It's just a different team. But I do know that Kirby talking to the team did a good job of saying to the squad, said, hey, you know, the defense isn't going to be just the person to stop Drew Lock. He said everybody on this trip's got a role. The offense is going to have to keep him off the field. We're going to have to get some special teams, which I thought had some good returns on top of everything. We're going to have to get some stuff out of our special teams. And defense, we're going to have to do some good job of rushing this guy, you know. So, you know, everybody paid. We stopped Locke, but there's a lot of good things that the offense made him, you know, try to catch up to. So, good win. Probably after looking at him, I don't know what their record's going to be, but it looks like they might be along with Kentucky, you know, right up there. I don't know if their defensive secondary is good enough to hold up, though. That's the biggest
deal. Doesn't that just feel weird to say? They'll be right up there with Kentucky.
Well,
I mean, Kentucky, props to them.
No, that's not as weird as saying Georgia's a 32-point favorite over Tennessee.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, we're more favored over them than we are we're Middle Tennessee.
I know, that's just
And that's just not
disturbing.
Right. I think everybody's basing on Florida kicking their butt, but it was six giveaways. And you
can make a house payment this weekend.
You got to figure that Pruitt just inherited. I mean, they got a 10-game SEC losing streak at Tennessee.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, they're not going to win this weekend, but I don't
– Well, you
That's a
you
lot
say
of
that,
points
say
to cover.
That, there's always the prospect of we could lose from the standpoint that we can make some mistakes and keep them in the game. And
I don't think
that.
You make that many mistakes.
No, I'm not – I don't want to get to that, but I just don't think it's just like
– No. Well, you said the same thing at South Carolina, that Georgia could lose.
I want to see from our fans – is just the fact that you come to the game, there's a lot of things you can enjoy about this team, the way they play together, the way they don't, you know, they represent the G. I like this team, and you can find fault with anything, but, hey, I just think if you look at the sense of direction we're on, you know, I mean.
Look, if you don't want to come to this game and watch Georgia take on Tennessee after that heartbreak that Josh Dobbs threw.
That's right.
Then
sure.
You're not a Georgia fan. You need to get your butt in that stadium and sit
there
and watch.
There's nothing wrong with being critical and all that, but I think at the same time, realistically, if you just listen to the first of the show, we let them run by the way we lined up. If they wanted to be dumb enough to run and take away their pass, I don't say dumb. If they just wanted to, you know,
take what the defense gave them.
Hey, they were trying to do that. And we stopped them enough in the run out in the field to make some third downs where it really helped us. I mean, when they ran the ball on second eight and second nine a couple of times, I said, man, that's great.
Speaking of being helpful and pointing you in the right direction, I think Athens Ford recently helped one of our listeners with that. Roddy, he sent you a little message and kind of broke it down for you.
He did. I want to give a shout-out to David, and let me just make sure I get this name right, Rothio. I think that's right. These Cajun guys, I love them. Our French.
What's his name?
Ruthio. David Ruthio. And his son Carson plays defensive end and guard. I think that's for the 12 and under Red Raiders.
Of Madison, is that right?
Yeah, let's see.
I believe he said.
Yeah, 12 and under Red Raiders. Yeah, in Madison County. So shout out to Carson Ruthia. We got to have pronounce his name right, so when he's got the 5-star rivals rankings,
that's right.
You know,
that's
got
right.
It. But David was he and his wife Tanya were in the market for a newer vehicle, and he says, "I decided, what would Roddy do?" I'm like, "Well, I'm
like, disclaimer, yeah, don't ever."
I was about to say that is a bad way to live your life, David. That is a poor judgment call there. But he did go out to Athens Ford,
which was a great call.
That was a great call, and. I want to tell you this. I love what he said here. Long story short, they treat you like family, and you're not just another customer. They don't just sell you a car. They build a relationship with you that will last. So thank you to Coach and Jake for helping me and my family become New Athens customers for life. I hope you have a great day, and go Dogs. So unsolicited testimonial. Guy went out there with his wife and two kids. Looked at the 2016 Ford Explorer. Loved it. Got it with the, you know, all the
bells and whistles.
The certified pre-owned, you know, all the lifetime powertrain warranty, which you get on any vehicle that you purchase out there, new or used, so long as it's under 80,000 miles. You can't get that anywhere else. That's only available at Athens Ford. So thanks to David Ruthiu and the rest of his family. And I'm sorry if I'm saying it wrong, David, but you know, if you've watched the show, he says he watches
can't
every week.
Can't beat that.
He knows that we can't pronounce anything worth a damn. So
hey, yeah, big shout out to everybody in Danielsville. What do you think? Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
I wanted to somebody pointed out, and I think that this is a great talking point for us. You're essentially a third of the way through the season right now.
That's actually coming up in my 3-2-1.
All right.
Third of the way, but we got hopefully three more after that.
or a quarter of the way, I'm sorry. No, a third. It's a third. To this point.
English major, boys. English major.
There's a reason for it. To this point, let's talk about some MVPs, some emergers, some guys who've really kind of come out, and maybe even some underperformers. Anybody, Coach, who's kind of caught your eye, come on in this season, you know, to this point that maybe at the first of the year you weren't necessarily expecting?
Well, I'd say on the offensive line, Wilson, just the fact that he's taken over that position and played very steadily the whole time. I think receiver-wise, the way Miko's made a lot of big plays for us in the passing game, certainly, Jake's been very steady. Had a couple mediocre first halves, but, you know, really came back in the two conference games. Running back-wise, we still got to get a little more production there, but Holyfield's been very solid from that standpoint. Defensively, I think our front's playing hard. I mean, Walker is standing out. And then in the secondary, just the way Baker's just a really unbelievable player back there, along with the two safeties both playing. I think LeCount was a question mark because we didn't really know what he could do. We knew a given with JR, but LeCount's been very – I think our two safeties good as anybody as far as their ability to play everything. And then our kicking game is just out of sight. We had one blocked the other day, but sometimes that happens, you know. You know, we get them blocked. But I would just say that would be a quick analysis without – thinking about it.
I'm going to say, for me, a couple of surprises to this point. Jeremiah Holloman has really come into his own over the last two games.
I thought you were talking about MVP.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll touch on all of them.
Right. Surprise.
Yeah, I'll do some surprises. I think Holloman, you know, what he's brought to this point, he's a big athletic guy, good blocker, and has been able to convert some touchdowns. Took that one the other day, really made that one happen, almost screwed it up for himself in Georgia, but he didn't by the rule, so you know, they'll take it. I think that Holloman's really coming on well. I think he's a good compliment as well because he's a bigger bodied guy. So many of these guys, you've got Tyler Simmons, Mecole Hardman, and these are smaller guys, Kill Crumpton. For Holloman to get in there, you know, you're talking about a 6'2", 6'2 and a half guy, right, with a lot of size and speed. I think that he's been a impressive. And then after last week, I'm gonna give another shout to Eric Stokes. I think that what he's done in that game really has boosted his stock pretty high. I think we'll see more of him down the line. And
that's why you listened to the show in the spring. We said, hey, Stokes is – don't give up on Stokes.
No one believed that.
Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah.
I don't ever say much, but I really felt like
Roddy,
Stokes.
Roddy, any underperformers that have maybe caught your
eye? Give me people under the bus. I should say underperformers because you don't know how many times they get a chance, but where's Demetrius Robertson?
Okay,
you know?
Yeah, sure.
That's kind of a question mark for me.
How about head scratchers? That's what we'll call
head scratchers. Yeah,
Terry Godwin too.
Yeah,
Terry Godwin. I'm not sure what's going on there. I thought Riley Ridley would have more catches at this point. Again, I don't know if he's targeted. I know he's had some big blocks, but I expect a little bit more there.
But they haven't played in the fourth quarter until last week.
That's true. You know, I'm loving just about everything I've seen on the offensive line. I was a little questionable about. I mean, there have been points where the offensive line, the guard play, has been great, then been bad. You know, it's like the inconsistency there. And I can't say that on just one guy, you know, because we've seen them. They're jumping up and down in their rankings from week to week, which if I'm an offensive coordinator, I'm like, are my guards going to play correctly this game or not? And that affects your play call. And you got to make that decision in 10 seconds. That makes me nervous. But defensively, I was expecting a little more out of DaQuan Hawkins-Muckle, just the way he looked. But again, it's so tough for me being down on the field at my level to see if he's actually doing what he wants to. But I should just say I thought that this was going to be – we would be talking a little bit about him as the surprise defensive lineman, and I haven't seen it yet. But to your point, I thought Mike Thornton had a heck of a game.
He did.
And I was surprised when they brought him out. You know, I'm like, how many – you know, this was a – former defensive lineman, then offensive lineman, then back to
Michael
defense.
Michael Barnett.
Excuse me.
I was like, Michael Thornton graduated years ago.
Sorry.
Well, I mean, did he come back for a cameo?
I get the same thing. I get the name, the rote.
Yes.
The name of, yeah. Barnett gets in there and comes back. And I thought, okay, well, because I remember him making a couple plays. And I thought that those were like the only ones he did. And then we went and looked at the snap count that we put out yesterday. And that guy was in there a lot.
Yeah.
And that's hard work. So I was impressed with what he did. But
I'm scratching my head a little bit about Natrez Patrick. I expected him to, you know, it's senior year. I thought that he would be up to the challenge, you know, really in there making an impact. I'm not saying he's not.
Walter Grant, too, for me.
Walter Grant, understandable as well. And another guy is Tyler Clark. I mean, I remember coming into this season, there was talk, well, will he go?
I liked him, though. He hasn't been a head-scratcher for me because, I mean, I saw the pressures that he – we talked about Coach said Georgia needs vertical pressure in this game. And from my standpoint, you know, because I'm standing behind the quarterback. I saw 52 coming up free a couple times.
But again, I'm basing
that on one game.
He's a space eater. I mean, he's thick and he makes people, you know, you got to count for the guy.
But you're right. I mean, they were talking to Tyler Clark as, you know, moving up the draft boards, and he hasn't had that game where you call out, look, you know, Tyler Clark destroying everybody, but he can.
But he's got the body and the quickness that they're looking for. And the other thing that everybody needs to realize, too, is, and you got the same problem everywhere, when you got so many guys that are pretty good, then you got a lot of people you can dissect because they're playing more players than most teams play. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The number of snaps that these guys get aren't near as many as a lesser team, so they have more chances sometime to fail when you play a lot of snaps, and then when you don't play many, then you better excel when you're in there.
To your point, let's go back. Was it the Middle Tennessee State game where Fromm had the interception on a Tyler Simmons route?
Yes, I believe so.
And everyone's like, oh, Tyler's, you know, why wasn't it going to somebody else?
That was South Carolina.
Was it South Carolina? Okay, I can't remember when it was, and they were like, this is you know,
he broke the route off.
But at the same time, Tyler stays in the game, then makes three or four big plays. So to your point, if you're pulled after you make that one mistake, it's what have you done for me lately? That's all anybody remembers is the last thing you did. But
that's not our style here, though. We don't.
No, it's not here, but it just fan base in general. Hell, I still people that are giving Terrence Edwards grief about the pass at Florida. That didn't matter that he was the SEC's leading receiver for 100 years. You know, it's just, well, you didn't catch that one pass. So it is a what have you done for me lately. People remember your last thing. But you're right, with all these guys getting in. So what we're doing in this concept, you know, MVPs, surprises, under, you know, head scratchers, it's just an academic exercise.
Absolutely.
And to the point, you know, if we're talking about a guy who's second or third string not, you know, being as much as we want, it's what I was saying earlier in the beginning of the show. You want all these wide receivers to make catches, all these running backs to go for 100 yards, and then when they do, we're like, well, what about the tight ends?
Yep.
You know, we want to stop the pass. Okay, we did that. But you didn't stop the run.
Well, well, that's true.
I mean, come on.
We didn't. But here's the thing that I would just put the capper on with this analysis, which y'all made some good points there, is going into the season, we had some really big question marks in the secondary. To me, our secondaries are a source of strength. We had some really big question marks on our punting situation. To me, that's a source of strength. We had some really big question marks on whether some of these young offensive lines are going to be able to come in and fill the void. Wilson, Mays, Salyer, Hill, all these guys, they all are very good players for freshmen. Every one of them is a freshman. So you answered the question marks in a lot of areas there, but the only one that hasn't been answered to my really good
satisfaction
is the inside – part of our defense, the inside backer situation, which you lost the number 10 guy drafted. So we're not as good there, but that's something we're working on. And I know this, Reuben Foster didn't play till his junior year in Alabama because of the system. So it takes a little while to learn it. I mean, we got a tough system to know. I mean, we got a lot of calls, man. I mean, we got a lot of calls. I don't know what the Guinness Book of Records is, but we got some calls now.
Well, I do like that. I will say, though, I don't know that anybody had more planned for more contingencies than Todd Grantham did.
Yeah.
You know, 50s.
Well, we got a lot of calls at work.
No, yeah. Well, I was going to say.
We don't have this call.
Well, I'd say instead of.
What are we in? What are we in? What are we playing?
Yeah, exactly. He would
give
have.
Give me a call, coach. Give me one.
They would have, you know, instead of having 6 to 8 that they could run to perfection, he planned for every possible thing. And then you're trying to tell these players, okay, and this, then this, and this. And to your point, they're looking at the sideline going, what the hell? You know, so there are a lot of calls, but I still think that Georgia keeps it simple enough that those guys are able to pursue and do their jobs without questioning and looking at the sideline going, what the hell am I supposed to be doing here? So I like the fact that you have calls, but they can still run 6 to 8 packages very, very effectively.
I can tell you this right now. I've been around football for 50-some years. As far as being around it, I don't count playing Little League and high school and stuff like that. But I have never been around a better coach team as far as preparation than I see when Kirby Smart and his staff puts the team together as far as technique, fundamentals, teaching, working them, everything like that. And I'm sure there's other people that do it, but I guarantee when these guys right here, they get the Encyclopedia Britannica every week of what to do.
I want to move us forward, look a little bit toward the Tennessee game. You know, we've spent a lot of time talking about the first part of the season, that kind of thing. Coach, anybody on this Tennessee offense that, you know, kind of catches your eye, stands out to you? I think they've got some very talented players and some good players. It's just about execution.
Was it Smith?
Yeah, Trey Smith.
He's a good player. And then their defensive front's big. I mean, they got some big old Chilardos up there, man. They got some big old guys that can – and then the linebackers run pretty well. Secondary's another situation for them. They hadn't been very good in the secondary. So, but you know for a fact that they got some talented coaches there that are going to improve this team. And it's just one of those deals you got to go out and play. They got a lot of pride. Their coaches do. They'll instill it in the players. And this is not going to be a cakewalk game. Wow. I can tell you that.
And he has a hell of a coaching staff.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, that's I wouldn't say I'd trade Georgia's coaches for him, but if you know, I know that what it took them 5-6 coaches before they got Jeremy Pruitt. But to me, the best thing Jeremy Pruitt has done is a symbol, you know, a who's who of coach of staff, assistant coaches, especially, you know, and you got to think when they're looking at him, like, you were their 6th or 7th choice. What kind of support are you going to get at Tennessee? Those guys dropped what they were doing and ran to Tennessee, and I thought that was very impressive. Right. They got some great Georgia coaches up there. Absolutely. So
you know how many coaches were offered a Green Bay job before Vince Lombardi? He was the 7th guy.
Really?
Wow.
Did okay.
Yeah.
He's all right. They only named a trophy after him.
How about the New York Giants when he was an assistant coach? He was the offensive coach and Tom Landry was a defensive coach.
Not bad.
I mean, come on, man.
I mean, guys who jump off the board to me, Marquez Callaway, obviously a very dynamic weapon, a guy from down in Warner Robins, you know, has just done tremendous things at Tennessee. Shy Tuttle, definitely on that defensive line. Jonathan Kongbo was a highly regarded, one of the top JUCO players in the nation when he came out. Nigel Warrior is a guy that I will stump for every day of the week. I think that he's about as talented of a defensive back
as there
is
junior
in this league. He's a little bit younger than Micah, I think. You know, looking
Micah's
around,
very good too.
Let's see, you got Brandon Johnson. I remember covering him at some of the Georgia camps. Very talented wide receiver, guy who does a little bit of it all. You got Trey Smith, Jerome Carvin, Drew Richmond on that offensive line. Like all those guys, Ty Chandler's a good running back.
Yes, he is.
So it's not like this is a team that's devoid of talent.
They just can't give away games like they did. I think they're going to have some games like they'll play. They'll have a hard time with Auburn too, but they'll play everybody else, you know, because they'll be improved by then. And they got some question marks at quarterback, you know, and the guy's hurt now. I don't know if he's going to be able to go or not, but that Chris kid played a lot in the Pac-12, so it's going to be fun to see how we play. And we got to build some momentum here and confidence over the next 2 weeks because looks like LSU, unless something happens. I mean, you're going to have a matchup down there of two top five teams.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you make of this Cortez Sapp situation? We touched on that earlier. If you're not following that at Tennessee, essentially in the post-game press conference, Jeremy Pruitt comes out and says, hey, I asked Cortez to go into the game. He said he wasn't going to do it. I told him he could leave the field. He did so. There were rumors that he called his mom out of the stands, that he was quitting the team. He then released a statement, Sapp did, and basically said, I'm sorry, there was a miscommunication. I would never do that. I would never not go in the game. What do you make of all this?
Yeah, that's a tough deal. I really don't know the particulars except for what I heard Coach Pruitt say. You know, he told him to get out after he wouldn't go in. So, I don't know if the guy's thinking about being redshirted or what the deal. What is it? I mean,
I don't
y'all
know
anything specific?
I don't.
I haven't asked. We need to check with Rob Lewis and their folks up at
VolQuest.
VolQuest.
I'll give you one story about a guy one time, and this is a true story. We had this one guy that was on our team that was a really good kid, but he was not a very good player. But we had to take an extra guy on the trip, and he was kind of a smart aleck type kid anyhow. And we were playing we had calls on our defense, you know, like Texas and Florida, and but we had one call named Alabama. And we had this one defensive coach named Al Michaels. His nickname was Shaky because he's always moving around like this. But he was a very good coach. And so the first two guys in the safety position go out, you know.
Oh, my.
And so he go over to Johnny over there. This is a true story now, right there in Riddick Stadium there before the new stadium. And he goes over there and he says, do you know Alabama? Do you know Alabama? And he looks at him and says, well, I forgot my guitar, Coach Ball. Hum a few lines. He thought the guy was going to – he thought he was
– oh,
he didn't even go in the game. He actually said that to a coach.
I like that guy. That's smart ass, man. That's right up by
he knew him. He wasn't going to put him in, but yeah. He had to say it to him because the guy never even spoken to him his whole life.
We got to call it what it is. It's tough times in Knoxville. It's gonna
transitional.
It's gonna get worse, I think, even before it gets better. I don't even know that the Florida game was your low point. I mean, if you look at the schedule, there aren't a lot of for sure wins on that. There aren't a lot of guaranteed wins. I mean, you got
who's
UNC.
Their other? They got to play Alabama and Auburn in the crossover. They got Charlotte coming in there, don't they?
They do have Charlotte.
Charlotte lost to Massachusetts. I was surprised at that.
That's the one that kind of jumps out to you, I think, as far as you know what they've got remaining. Kentucky, you got to think with the way they're playing.
Where do they play Vandy?
They play Vandy at Vandy.
Ooh.
Yeah.
They lost to Vandy last year.
And they also get Missouri.
Yep.
They get Kentucky. They host Kentucky, and they host Missouri.
Yep.
But I don't know that playing in Neyland Stadium has been a great boon to them.
Well, Georgia showed that last year.
There's a lot of apathy, just from the standpoint, you know, you don't want to get to the point where you don't feel like you have a chance. But I think the fans got to realize that this is a rebuilding situation. I mean, this program has got a long way to get back as far as the personnel, but looks like they're off to a good start recruiting this year, aren't they? Were they in the top 15?
Yeah, they are, but it was the reaction from the recruits last week to that game was not very positive at all.
Like some guys are dropping them?
The five-star tackle Wanya Morris, the report from our guys at VolQuest was that he left the game early because he was not very impressed with what he was seeing out there. You know, that's not what you want to hear. But you got Lakia Henry, he's a linebacker, pretty talented guy. You got Warren Burrell out of North Gwinnett High School, talented kid. Ramel Keaton, who I think is one of the more underrated players in this class, at wide receiver from Marietta.
Jordan needs to check over there on Ladarius Cox.
Aaron Beasley. Ladarius Cox, yeah, that could be a guy that maybe you can see Georgia get back in with. He was very interested in
him. Were we on
him
hard before?
Initially, yes, and then he kind of came out, surprised a lot of people by committing to Tennessee. Chris Akparangi. So they do have some, you know, they've got some guys they're kind of stacking up.
It's a good recruiting class if they can keep it. But I think going back to the Sapp thing, he could be a miss. I mean, he could say he could have been hurt.
Sure.
You know, coach, I got this nagging thing. He's like, get in there anyway. And he's like, I'm not going to do it. You know, could be he quit or, you know, and then thought about it and realized what he'd done.
I feel like
there's so many dynamics going on. Go ahead.
The problem I feel like with this is, to me, it seems clear that somebody's not telling the truth. The way that Pruitt said it. And what he said in response, that does not mesh to me. That doesn't, you know, this was a miscommunication. Is not, I told him to leave the field.
Yeah.
I'm not saying.
But then at the same time, I mean, we know Jeremy Pruitt, and he's not the calmest of people. You know,
No.
So I could see. I mean, you could. I mean, this is a guy that had he had some issues at Georgia with his temper and the administration here. And I won't get into those stories, but there's some good ones. Point being, if the kid could have shaken his head, you know, like, I can't believe you're asking me to do this. And if you weren't, you know, snap to salute, yes, sir, and run your ass in there, Jeremy Pruitt's going to send you. So, especially, and you got to know, he's frustrated as anything with the way that game is going. But I think Coach, I tweet this every time Georgia gets in a bind against a team that's lower than them. The things that make me nervous about any upset. And when I'm watching another game where, you know, lower-ranked team is beating a higher-ranked team.
Virginia Tech over Old Dominion has got to be one of the most inexplicable games I've ever heard of. Yeah.
Turnovers, penalties, special teams.
Missed assignments.
Yeah. Those are, to me, the big ones that kill you when you're looking at a team that, like you said, you know, against South Carolina, you said there's a chance Georgia – we don't think that South Carolina could beat Georgia, but Georgia could beat themselves.
Yeah.
Right.
Turnovers, special teams. And then when we saw the this past game, we saw a punt, a field goal blocked and a field goal missed. I'm like, that's two scoring opportunities where you walk away with zero. So that started making me nervous about Georgia's chances.
Especially when you thought it was going to be a shootout.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, though, you know, Georgia's getting these turnovers. And actually, Dane Young's thing was, hey, you know, turnovers keep Georgia in this game and let them to a 14-point victory.
Part
of it. So when Tennessee takes on South Carolina, Tennessee gives up the ball six times. Who the hell could win that game?
Oh yeah, no, it's,
you know,
yeah, you're in the
hole.
So
again, when I'm looking, I don't mean to be flipping about Georgia winning this weekend. I mean, yeah, the 32-point favorites, but you turn the ball. If Georgia turns the ball over six times, that's a different. That's completely different.
Absolutely.
So
we've done really good on the fumbles and only had two interceptions, but. You know, my coach, Earl Edwards, rest in peace. I mean, every game before we went out on the field, the last thing he said, most games are lost. They're not won. That was the last thing he'd always say. And, you know, we got tired of hearing it, but he was right. I mean, you got to avoid losing first, and you got to play positive. We got any tough questions here? I don't feel like I've been challenged.
Let's see. Well, Ab Harding wants to know, will Georgia go after Rambo Hunter and Quayshon Fuller? I'm going to say I don't know on Rambo Hunter. I don't think anybody has a very good read on that kid and what he's going to do. He's been all over the board.
Where's he committed?
He's not committed right now. But he was supposedly committed to Georgia for a while. He was committed to Florida State at one point. Yeah. But Quayshon Fuller is a guy that I do expect they're going to get up on a visit, and I do think they'll make a push there. He is a Florida State commit, but Georgia really likes him at that defensive tackle spot. He's a big guy. I think that would benefit them.
Here's the other thing about Saturday. If you just look at the logistics, this is a perfect time for a kid to come to the game, 3:30, they got plenty of time to get here, get around and everything, and be around their coaches and all, and get wined and dined there over there. Yep. In the new facility. And it's going to be not just the older guys, but a lot of younger guys, 10th graders and all, be their first look at a college game maybe, you know, some of these kids coming. So we need that.
It's going to be a
crowd, crowd around there, and you guys will be taking pictures of all the people that come in. I like those pictures of the guys, especially the ones that are really.
We'll see.
The ones.
No,
that
there's
are,
a. There's
they
a,
don't want you to take pictures.
There's
of?
A new stupid rule coming down about this.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's that by, the NCAA or by?
No,
Georgia?
It's by Georgia being idiots.
It's ridiculous. We'll tell you about it after the show. It's stupid. I don't even want to waste airtime on it here.
I do want to say if you're not going to the game, if you're not going to be in the stadium, we saw a lot of people go out to Academia Brewing Company last week, you know, to watch the Missouri game, and they got those cool pint glasses with the Savage pads on them. You can still buy some of those up there, but that is Academia. Is the official UGA Athens alumni viewing spot, if you will. They have two huge screens up so you can watch it. You can actually make reservations out there. But to me, if you're not going to be in the stadium, you know, but you want to watch the game, not a better place to watch it in the Athens area because of those giant screens, the fantastic beer. And here's the thing. The food is outrageous. So
it is very good.
You know, I would, if you're going to the game, come by Champions, pick up your box of the chicken tenders, your fried chicken, all the stuff you
exactly.
want. Exactly. But if you're actually going to watch the game, I'd swing by Academia and get it out there. They do a great job. We saw a picture of all the fans that were there. Because you kind of want that. You want to go where there's a bunch of people who are watching the same game you are. The TV's on. They're not piping in, you know, music from the 90s on Sirius XM. They're actually got the game call on, giant TVs going on, and everybody's, you know, they cheer. You cheer and groan together. And I just think that's the way to do it.
Also, on your way out of town, swing by and get a gear pie.
Well, when you get home, there's 58 locations of those, so you can hit those up.
And all right. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, you finished your beer.
Yes, I did.
I still have over half of one. See, this is what happens when I talk too much on the show. You sit there and suck it down.
All right, Coach. Got to ask. We've been asking it every week. Who is the mouth-watering player of the week that you're looking for against Tennessee?
Holy smoke. I really don't know. I hadn't thought about that as much. I mean, you know, last week I said the quarterbacks, and, you know, certainly we didn't get to see Justin much, but Jake played really well, particularly second half. You know, I just think we ought to have a breakout game offensively. You know, something's going to happen where we just make a lot of big plays. But I'm just going to kind of pass the buck here. I mean, I don't know. I think maybe you should pick it this week, Roddy.
I'm going Riley Ridley.
I came with the joke.
Riley Ridley. I like that. I think he's kind of due up. I think that he could be in line for
he
one.
He wants to one up his brother after Sunday's game over there.
I'm gonna give mine to the defensive line. I think this is the game where they kind of get active. They get some sacks. They
why don't
get
you
back
call
there
the front
some...
seven, not just the line. The linebackers got to help. Everybody understand
I agree.
It's not the line's fault all the way. It's a combination there, and our defensive against the run was more as much the scheme as it was, and it didn't bother us to let him run a little bit. It did bother us, as Kirby said, in the red area, especially the low red area closer to the goal line. But
yeah, I think front seven, that would be my pick if I had to identify maybe
that's,
one
that's
guy.
That's a bold choice.
Who you got?
You said that against my Tyson Campbell pick
who
as well.
I'm taking Riley Ridley. I don't think Jeremiah Holloman's coming on, and he could, you know, be that guy, but I'm not convinced that he's not in the doghouse for dropping that ball before he going in the end zone.
I could definitely see
Tierry Godwin getting a shot, but I think for looking at the defensive backs Tennessee has, I like the Riley Ridley, that big target who.
Tierry Godwin's about 12 months pregnant.
Yeah, he's due.
I mean, he needs to come on and get it going.
Well,
here.
His mom wants to know why he's not playing.
Right. Yeah, that's always tough too. I hate to see stuff like that, but. You know, I just saw up there they had 34 roughing the passing passer calls last weekend.
Oh, last
in the NFL.
Wow.
But, you never get that call in college.
Yeah. I think of some of the beatings that Aaron Murray took.
Well, you got a call the other day against us for two-hand touch.
I think of the one that some of the ones that Aaron Murray took, the shots he took, they were just ridiculous.
Oh, that was bad against Auburn.
Yeah. Trent told us Georgia had 113 rushing yards after contact. Holyfield had 54. Swift had 39. I think this could be another guy, the mouth-watering player of the game. It would not shock me if Holyfield breaks off another 100-yarder.
I don't like that stat if it's behind. Some of that's behind the line, though. Is that down the field?
He didn't just said 113 yards after contact.
Well,
we'll have to look it up, and he'll put a. We can check out the grades, and we'll have it. Anyway, but that's really all the time we got this week. We're already
we're over anyway.
Well, we got started a little late, but. Be sure to tune in next week. We will be talking the Tennessee game, looking ahead to Vandy, and a big shout-out to Athens Ford, Your Pie, Cable East, Aaron Overhead Doors,
Academia Brewing,
and
our friends at Champions. I can't wait to dive in on this chicken.
Is my key lime pie still
there?
All right, tune in next week, folks. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.